The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Ben Wilson joins us.
Oh, big get.
How'd you book that guest?
I don't know. Pretty tough, man.
Ben Wilson, by the way, who was Jeff Parlay's best man at his wedding this past weekend.
And how was his speech?
Gave a spectacular speech.
Man.
Spectacular speech. I met his parents and everything. Well, I had met his dad before, but I met his mom. He gave a great speech. They were super proud of him, and they should be. He did not read off any notes. He kind of knew where he was going. He played off like he didn't know where he was going. He knew where he was going with it. He was great.
That's how you have to do those.
Yeah.
You can't do a written speech. It sounds too robotic.
Yeah.
But you also got to know where you're going.
Yeah. You got to know where you're going. He was great. He'll join us, talk French Open, which I look forward to, and college baseball, which he's doing. He's broadcasting college baseball games right now in the conference.
Yeah, I believe
tournaments.
He's calling, I'm going to screw up the conference, yeah. wherever Grand Valley, Rio State is, whatever conference that's in, he's calling that conference.
Well done, Kelly.
Yep.
Well done. And then Kelly and I, a little later, we're going to do our golf. We did this once before. We had fun with it. I don't know why you and I get so giddy doing this. But you're such a golf guy, and I'm a tennis hardo, as Drew likes to say, that I do these so lovingly. Like, I spent, like, way too much time on this yesterday, putting who I feel are the top 10. Now, I do them all court, so I'll try to include, like, who I think is better on clay or worse on clay than their ranking, but I did them all court, so hard courts, clay, grass, whatever.
I love that you're saying that because I did get peel back the curtain. I got Gil's tennis rankings from the WTA ones about 45 minutes before I got the ATP ones, and I wondered myself. I was like, did Gil really just put like 45 minutes into coming up with these ATP rankings, or did he do something and then come back to it and throw these together quick?
Little of the first. Yeah, I was all into it. I was like, because in the ATP side of things, you can get 1 through 5, but then you're like, oh my god. Throw the rest of them up in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't really talk college football that often in May, but we felt that we hadn't talked to Pete Futak in a long time, and why not talk to him right now? He joins us from College Football News. He's kind enough to join us throughout the college football season each and every week. It's great to see him in May. How you doing, man?
Oh, sure. LeBron taps out, and there's hockey not really happening except for one series. I'm happy to help out the cause at any time. How you doing, Gil?
I'm doing very well. You know, I talked to my buddy Adam Stankover at 24/7. He runs things at 24/7 Sports, and they're super into, you know, NIL and transfer portals and all that. And, you know, I had Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point book, and he was talking about, I can't even put up numbers because I don't know who's going to end up where. For what you do at College Football News, and by the way, for those who don't know, collegefootballnews.com, this trove of great college football information, does it set you back? Because I know you have a schedule that you work with. Does it set you back a little?
Oh, dear God, yeah. Because you can't do anything after spring practice, and then you have the transfer portal window that comes up. So there's no point in diving in real hardcore to the team by team previews, which we're out doing right now. So I would probably about, it's like doing 133 book reports, and I'm probably about 2 weeks behind from where I normally am. And then just knowing that these are all going to need hard edits fast, but you're right. Really the main guys are there, but if a quarterback gets hurt or somebody transfers, you know, in a key spot, or you lose a mass bunch of guys to something, sure. I mean, I don't know how or why anybody does print publications in general anymore, but God bless those people who have to try to do it now, because they're complete. Because you have to put those together in February.
Oh, that's such
those
a good
call.
Those
are completely obsolete by the time they hit the newsstand. So unless you like the pretty pictures and you like the generalized idea stuff, it's really hard to do. But it's, you know what, this is it. This is where, you know, you try to figure out right now where, and this is also to your direct point, this is where you could probably find values if you can lock into win totals now and kind of foresee the future that chaos is going to happen one way or another.
Can you give us an example, one or two examples of that you might have isolated?
From right out of the gate, let's see what NC State does. That's the preview that just went up right now, because they got Brennan Armstrong, the former Virginia quarterback and their offensive coordinator. If you remember a couple years ago, a total outlier season when they just blew up and they had the number two passing game in the country. Mm-hmm. Last year, or 2 years ago, they didn't really rock so well with Armstrong there for a whole slew of reasons, including a tragedy and other things. And NC State last year, if they just scored 22 points, they would have been 10-win team. So all their tough games are at home. So that's one of those teams where if this offense comes together and you buy into the schedule and then realize that they've only had one double-digit win season in the program's history, you could probably try to figure out one way or another that the win total, depending on where you get it, some places it was like 7.5, some places it's talking 8, 8.5. You can try to kind of finagle somewhere in there because they always win 7 to 8 games a season under Dave Doran. And so maybe that's something you can try to figure out. But yeah, again, this is a team-by-team thing at this point, depending on the portal.
I want to say, and I don't think I'm remembering this incorrectly, that when I used to ask the question, okay, if I took out, and you remember I would take out Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, yeah, whatever the teams were, you know, what's the team if I came from the future, said what team won the national championship? I think your answer at one point was the year that you said A&M. I think we had a couple people say NC State, right?
Yeah, like, you have an NC State person who's in there, and they've had bad luck. One, the bad luck, they used to be in the Clemson division, and that stinks, but then now they don't have divisions more in the ACC. And to your point, now the weird overarching factor when it comes to win totals and who's going to be in the college football playoff, we have one more year of this, and then next year they go to the 12-team format, and then everything changes up, the expectations change. Yes. So getting in those top four spots, the same formula holds true. In the college football playoff era, we have yet to see a team that has two losses get in. If you win your conference Power Five conference championship and you do it with one loss or fewer, unless there's a total crazy outlier of teams things happening, you're going to get into the college football playoff. Which means if you're looking ahead, like who's this year's TCU going to be? It's not going to come from the Big 12 because every team in that conference from top to bottom, including all the new guys coming in with Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU, no one's going to get through this whole schedule without at least two losses. Look at the Pac-12. That's going to be a disaster in trying to get a team into the college football playoff because even USC, as good as it is, it's got a whole bunch of landmines it's going to deal with because they have a whole bunch of NFL quarterbacks in that conference. So it's boring as it's going to be as we're talking here on May, whatever it is, just stick with the old favorites. Georgia's already in. Just assume it. Their schedule's easy. Just assume the Big Ten champion's in. It's probably Ohio State. And then go on from there because take out the Big 12 and Pac-12 because anybody who you're trying to foresee coming out of those two conferences, you're just kind of guessing because those two conferences are going to be brutal from top to bottom.
All right, let me just clarify a couple of things. One, NC State, we're seeing at DraftKings is 6.5, by the way.
Over. Because, again, all their big games are at home. Clemson's at home. I believe Notre Dame. I want to say Miami's at home. They don't play Florida State. I think their toughest road game is Wake Forest. And in the Dave Doran era, outside of the 2020 season, he's only had one season after the first year. And it's something crazy. Like in the last 40 years, NC State has won 7 games or more, like 40 times. And Dave Doran has done that 7 of the last 8 years. So like they're going to win 7 games unless the wheels completely fall off.
Yeah. And you're so right. Like as you're talking, like this is the last year where we talk about, oh, they've never had a 2-loss team and all that. Because God forbid they move the 12-team playoff up to this year. You know, we got to wait another year for that.
They should. I mean, we're way overdue, and it's going to completely change what we're all thinking about in terms of the college football playoff.
So if I did ask you that same question, then again, it's way too early to ask you this, but I'm curious. So obviously, you know, there's going to be the usual suspects. But if one team, what would that team be if it's not – if it's not Ohio State and it's not Georgia and it's not Alabama, what's the team that you could see coming out of nowhere?
Where are you seeing Notre Dame? Because that could flip fast because they've got a tough schedule. They got to deal with USC. But that's one of those teams that with Sam Hartman at quarterback, if that all kind of works, all of a sudden, they could kind of be there. But the outliers this year, everyone's going to fall in love with Florida State. I just saw you have it up on the screen there, 10 wins. There's too much happening there. I'm not buying in there quite yet. The other team everyone's going to be in love with is LSU. You still got to deal with Alabama. You still got to deal with the rest of the SEC. And you have up there right now Penn State. Penn State was really good last year. Their two losses, Ohio State and Michigan, and they were really young. They get just about everyone back. They've upgraded a quarterback. Drew Aller is supposed to be the NFL star. So if you're saying who's the outlier out of all that on the screen right now, you have there, definitely not Texas A&M, definitely not Oklahoma. Wisconsin's a little bit of an outlier maybe, but Penn State would be the one.
Penn State 25-1, Notre Dame, the aforementioned Notre Dame, Fighting Irish 25-1, both at DraftKings. And then in the spirit of, remember a couple years back when everybody was like, oh, it's absolutely going to be, you know, a situation where this guy, Sam Howell in North Carolina was the guy that it came up with, where everybody's like, Sam Howell's going to win the Heisman. Who's your way too early call on the Heisman this year?
It's again, I always kind of say the field on all this, but that's not fair. The problem with that is, and I don't mean to cop out here, if it's not Caleb Williams, because if he stays healthy, he's going to have the same season, if not better. The problem is we're still not 100% sure who the quarterback of Alabama is, who the quarterback of Georgia or Ohio State are. So the three teams that are going to be deep in the hunt for the college football playoff and might all get there, we still don't know quite who the quarterback is. So not to cop out on you on this, but it's not Sam Hartman at Notre Dame, because he's going to have a lot of high profile games. He's going to blow up big. I would say number two, do it again, Caleb Williams at USC. Cause again, he's got a ton of talent around him, and Cliff Kingsbury helping the cause. Now that offense is going to be even more dangerous.
10 seconds. Did you see a week zero line that you liked?
I have not been there yet. Okay. I'm just going to basically say go against Hawaii, whatever that is.
Go against Hawaii, whatever it is. Pete Futak, everybody. Great to see you, Peter, man. We'll talk soon.
Guys. Anytime.
At Pete Futak, FIUTAK. Again, the site is collegefootballnews.com. We'll come back. Those golf and tennis rankings on the other side. We'll nerd out. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you could see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. There's too many of these to count. I've tried. Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Just Doug Thanks at InStar Foods. Doesn't it seem like the large media outlets' coverage of playoffs starts to repeat itself when their favorite teams don't advance? They turn to next year and explain why injury and bad coaching are the issue. Sounds like fans. Hashtag thanks VSiN. If you're referring to LeBron and the Lakers, yes.
Coming up soon on A Numbers Game, LeBron's next team odds.
That's right. Later on the show, we'll be looking at LeBron's next team odds.
I'm dead serious. There's actually a bet there.
I know. I saw Bert Wiedemeyer. Oh, talking about the segment with the crack man yesterday on Scripted with Bill Krakenberg. He says, great segment, Billy, with Gilly yesterday. As always, I have plenty of friends like the ones you mentioned. Oh, talking about the scammer that Bill ran into, I should say, because someone was trying to scam his 82-year-old friend. He said, it's a juggling act, picking and choosing where and when not to bring friends. I'm glad you guys scared that carnival barker before he wreaks more havoc on the masses, though. So Bill also brought a friend that was sort of threatening violence. Thankfully, He did not. Buddhist man, he's always poking fun. I said, Yelena Ostapenko, not as sexy, talking about her odds. And then you go, I'm not going to make you do that, man. Talking about giving out face.
That was minutes later.
Minutes
Buddhist
later.
Man. Come on.
Jeremiah Westgate. He says, I'll ask again, Gil. Apparently he's asked me before. He's already scolding me. He said, the guest you had on last year that warned listeners that Russell Wilson was not going to rebound. I forget his name, but what does he say about Aaron Rodgers' upcoming season? 2022 was not Rodgers-esque. That's Joe Pita.
Oh.
At Magic Rat SF. Remember, Joe came on here and he said he was like anti, I think, Broncos and anti-Raiders, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice call, Joe. I wasn't working the show if it was around this time.
Oh, that's
last
right.
Year,
that's right.
Last year. So good, great call by Joe.
Parlay was still Grover Clevelanding with me. That's right. Robert Busa, congrats to Jason, talking about Weingarten here. So just like Ryan Reynolds and the guy from Sonny and Philly, they bought Wexham. Year two, they got promoted. First time in 45 years. They did a documentary on the first year and doing the second year. And he continues by saying, maybe they should do a documentary. Robert, that's exactly what I say to Jason. the story is way better than what we even conveyed. It really is a story about NFT money and parlaying that into soccer. And then the hurdle of the challenges of being American owners, the challenges of different coaches. It's just an amazing story. Hilarity ensues, by the way.
I had no idea Jason was a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's in there. Chris Heath, did Jason say he's on Astros, Angels, and Nets? Yes, he did. Those are the teams. Astros, Angels, and Nets. And then Ryan Hyatt with a Christmas movie joke that I don't understand because I'm not familiar with it word for word. But he says, great memories this morning on ANG with Gil and Kelly. Favorite scene from It's a Wonderful Life is when the kids at the dance break into the Dortmund romp classic. It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know that movie so well.
As I told you during the break, my favorite Bundesliga team is Borussia Mönchengladbach. need more syllables in there.
Once again, quiver. Shiver through my spine hearing that. Who's first, me or you, golf or tennis?
Oh, well, we got to fire up the Open. That's what we
got
to do.
Oh, we
got
it open.
We got to go to the back to the power rankings. Plug it in. Power
it off. 106.1, the buzz.
It was 103.1.
Oh, I'm
You're
sorry.
Up first, buddy.
I'm
WTA.
Sorry. I'm sorry. 106.1 is KML. All right, WTA, that's the women's side of things in tennis. This is all court rankings now. So this is not just clay, where the French Open, of course, will be played at Roland Garros. Tennis's second major of the year. This is all court. Just my top 10 power rankings, and these help to sort of sort things out when you're doing match by match and when you're talking about quarters and futures and all that kind of thing. Iga Świątek, no surprise. She's the number one player in the world. She's number one in my rankings as well. And again, I'll just get into it real quick. This is all done. Most of this is all based in numbers. 99% for me is based in numbers. But literally, it's not just a Iga fanboy thing. Her numbers are consistently not only elite, but so far more elite than anyone else. Again, when I'm talking about serve numbers and return numbers, when you combine those two, 100 is about average, 110 is elite. Iga is consistently many percentage points over that. So just to give you an example, last 6 months on hard court, she's 117. Last year on clay, 116.7. So that's the kind of player she is. Aryna Sabalenka is number two in the world ranking. She's number two in mine as well. The numbers bear that out. Better hard court player, a little closer to Iga in the hard courts than she is on clay numbers-wise, but she deserves the number two ranking. Elena Rybakina, who I have had at number three since we started doing this, you see in the world rankings she's crept up. She's now fourth in the world rankings. Rybakina's numbers on clay are actually not that good. So she's one of these players where she's just kind of unflappable. And if Iga has a kryptonite, because Iga never loses to really bad players, The only ladies she loses to are Sabalenka, Rybakina, and Krejcikova. Rybakina deserves that number three spot, even if her clay numbers don't really merit that. Jessica Pegula, great all-court player. She's number four in mine, three overall. Where me and the world rankings really differ the most is on this next one. I have Belinda Bencic as my number five player in the world. She's 12th in the world rankings. And the reason that I have her there is because across the board, hard courts and clay, her numbers are consistently well above 100, 106, 107 when we're talking about hard courts 12-month, 6-month. And when we're talking about clay 12-month, 6-month, it's really way better than people would imagine, 107, 109. So as I mentioned earlier, I like Bencic as a value play in her quarter at the French Open. I got Krejcikova 6th. She's won a French Open, but her hard court numbers are better. Anja Borg, if she was in better form, might be higher than 7, but I've got her 7, which is exactly where she is in the world rankings. Caroline Garcia is my number 8. She plays one way. That's kind of what dogs her from being top 5 to me. And the numbers bear out where she'd be number 8. I think Coco Gauff might be, in terms of numbers, the most overrated player in the world. She's kind of got a Kepka strain to her where she plays well in slams. She doesn't win them, but she plays well in them above her sort of pay grade when it comes to numbers. And then Yelena Ostapenko. I have her 10th. She's 17th overall. She is the sneaky, freaky sister sneaking in from the rear, because she is really, really good across the board, hard courts and clay. Clay numbers are really good. And again, she's my sneaky quarter play in her quarter at the French Open. Men's side, it's really, we can just break down the top five real quick. Djokovic, Alcaraz, Medvedev, Nadal, just out of respect, obviously fighting injuries. Sinner is my number five. That's really the top tier of players. They are elite beyond belief, and Djokovic is a tennis god, of course. Alcaraz trying to be that. Medvedev deserves number three. So those five for sure. Once you get past that, Kelly, Rune, Rublev, Fritz, Tsitsipas, Nori. The numbers are all really comparable. Some are better on hard. Some are better than on clay. But the way that I rank it right now is Rune at 6, Rublev at 7, Taylor Fritz, the top-rated American. He's my number 8. Tsitsipas, 9, and Cam Nori, 10.
Nori, a little bit of an outlier there. Quick follow-up on the Coco Gauff one. So is Coco someone you look to bet against then in other tournaments?
Well, let's put it this way. Her hardcore numbers are over 12 months are like 102-ish, 102.4. 6 months, a little better. But clay, you know, again, 104, 12 months, but it kind of drops 6 months. So she's never like super elite, but yet gets really far in big tournaments. She was in the finals of the French last year. She lost to Iga in the French finals. Her numbers don't really reflect that she should be doing that as consistently as she does.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I put together my golf ones. What I did was kind of like we do for NFL when we do our NFL power rankings. I just kind of adjusted from where I had them when we did these. When did we do these? 2 months ago? 3 months ago? Something like that, right?
You didn't do that for me.
Probably
okay.
2 months.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you used the world rankings one. That was true. A better comparison,
okay.
Right?
Well.
So that's the way I did it. So top three. Okay, the way I set this up, Gil, in my mind was player to finish top 10. Because the problem is if I really go for outright and rank those.
Makes sense.
You have guys like Sam Burns, right, who we talk about all the time, whose win equity is great, but, like, he's a win or finish 46th guy, right? So he's not going to be in my top 10. So I had to kind of – and then you take a Xander Schauffele, right, who doesn't win very often, but he's a top 20 cash machine. So that's how I did this. So if you have a problem with it, that's fine. This is the way I had – that's why I did it this way. You're like, yeah, Xander, number 6, he never wins. Okay, top 3, Scheffler, Rahm, McIlroy. Rory has struggled recently. I understand that. I couldn't really put anybody ahead of him. I got close because there's a guy the next. You know I really like right now, Patrick Cantlay. I got close, but it's not like Cantlay's gone out and won anything that can really make the super strong argument to put him above Rory right now. So left Cantlay 4, Finau 5. He's not – the past few weeks haven't gone as well for him, Gil. But, man, ever since this guy's really started winning like last year – His game has just gotten so much better all around that he belongs in that top 5 right now. Xander Schauffele, then 6 for me. Jason Day, 7. Max Homa, that should be a 4 instead of a 1. I did have him ranked 4th.
Oh, wow.
When we did this a couple months ago. Ouch. Bumped him back because he's not been on a good streak recently.
How dare you.
And then 2 move up. Victor Hovland, and you know I hated doing this, Gil, but Jordan Spieth cracks the top 10. Have to respect the game right now.
I'm smiling through yours because no matter how carefully you couched how you were doing this, I know every time you brought up a name, Cantlay, Finau, Schauffele, there's someone in the audience going, come on!
Exactly.
Totally. We'll come back with Ben Wilson on the French Open in college baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, we do have a French Open special coming up on the network today, Kelly.
Yeah, we do.
11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, hosted by the great Dave Ross.
That's right.
Who, is working things out with the old Twitter folks. He's working it out. So I'm going to be on that show for a segment. I think Amal is going to be on there as well.
Yeah, I believe you're the beginning and he's the end.
Oh,
so kind of bookending the two, the show with French Open.
Bookending. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Roger Jones, guys, while I agree the falconry is super cool, having the crack man go after scammers was even better. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah, it's
Kelly and I just happen to be fascinated by falconry.
Right, yeah.
Sorry about that. This is from Kim. This is a random question, but I do want to talk about this because it's one of these things where it has nothing to do with betting currently, but like it's one of these things on the margins in football. You remember Matt Araiza, Kelly? Do you remember the Matt Araiza story?
Oh, yeah.
Known as the punt god at San Diego State. And Kim's question is, Gil, any word on the punt god? So, it's a super delicate story because Araiza was drafted, right, as a punter, obviously. Being drafted as a punter is a big deal to begin with. But he was a 6th-round pick by the Buffalo Bills in the 2022 draft. And then he was accused in a civil lawsuit of being part of a gang rape of a 17-year-old girl at a house party in October 2021, which is obviously doesn't get any more, you know, serious than that. Though the civil suit is still pending, San Diego prosecutors met with the girl who was alleging it and discussed video evidence and witness statements. They actually indicated that he left the party an hour before the alleged incident unfolded. And so they initially, prosecutors initially announced they would not file charges. And Wednesday, this past Wednesday, marked the first NFL workout for Ariza, nicknamed the Punt God, since the Bills released him. The New York Jets worked him out, even though they recently signed veteran punter Thomas Morstead and guaranteed him $1.1 million as part of a one-year deal. But they brought in Ariza for a workout. Kickers, so that's where that stands anyway.
Kickers are getting $1 million guaranteed these days.
1.1. Don't sell them short.
What's Matt Brown doing? Get out on that field and start practicing. Oh,
can we have
the
Matt Brown kick already? Jeez. Ben Wilson joins us, ladies and gentlemen. I've often said he'll be the most famous person when all is said and done here years from now at VSiN. And I stand by that. Ben Wilson, announcer extraordinaire, wedding speech, best man speech extraordinaire. How you doing, Ben?
Gil, I'm great. My parents are still buzzing the fact they got to spend 3 hours sitting next to you. And also, they were being just lambasted by Todd Wishnev for 3 hours as well. That was quite the experience for both of them, but they loved it, and it's great to see you again.
Lambasted by Wishnev is such a great phrase. I enjoyed meeting your mom for the first time. I had met your dad before. It was a pleasure hanging out with him. You are where right now, sir?
We are at the Hyatt Place in Mesa, Arizona, complete with a little putting green out by the pool in the back. So it's a great setup here. You're calling the WAC baseball tournament for ESPN+. A lot of late nights, but that's the beauty, postseason baseball. And I hope I will be the first ever VSiN guest to handicap both college baseball futures and the French Open in a single segment. That's
you,
my goal.
You absolutely will be. No other human is just wildly talented enough to do both within one segment. So just generally in college baseball, because I've had Brad Porras on, we have tons of bets to win it all. What's a team that you've observed from your perch there in the ballpark itself where you're like, this team is actually super good and might be sneaky?
Sure. So how my season usually works, I see all the top teams at the start of the year. Then I come back. I do some of these smaller, you know, college conference tournaments now. But it's always fascinating how you see teams at the start of the year and you can just tell right in person who clicks, who's got the tools to make a deep run. And then stuff happens. They'll have injuries. They'll go through swoons and everybody kind of goes off of them. And you sort of look at yourself and you're like, wait, why do people just give up on some of these teams? Vanderbilt is a team that I don't think many people are really buzzing or talking about. They don't put up crazy hitting numbers, but you have to keep in mind, and I know you and Brad have talked about this in the past, but the SEC as a whole this year, you have 7 of the top 10 teams in RPI. It's just been a historically deep league. And so you could really make a case for any of those teams, but I tend to shy away from the teams that are just these huge bopper type clubs who don't have a ton of pitching depth. And so I'm not going to be on LSU this year as a team at the top. I mean, they can score 20 runs a game in the postseason, but I'm not in love with their lack of depth on the pitching side. Now, Vanderbilt is such a solid defense pitching first type team. And it's a kind of a throwback squad. And they got a really good transfer this year in RJ Schreck from Duke. They rarely get transfer guys since they're Vanderbilt, very obviously hard academic requirements to get in there. He transfers in from Duke. So pretty rare you see that, the old Duke to Vandy transfer. And I like their game. You also have to take some of these SEC stats with a grain of salt, Gil, because it's like they're all beating up on each other. It's a ridiculous league. So Vanderbilt's a team that stands out. Arkansas is one of those teams that got mauled by injuries in the middle of the season, but they're still like, you watch them in person and you're like, okay, this team can easily beat anybody. I'll just be watching to see, you know, it's a 9-1 price. I'm not going to play that. Vanderbilt, I think you can get as good as 21-1 or so in the market right now. And that's a team that is going to be in a really good position to get out of regionals. You know, you have the regionals, you then go to super regionals and then on to Omaha. So those are two teams I've looked at. I have a TCU ticket in my pocket that's at a bad number from 40-1. I thought they were a legit top 10 team when I saw them. They've come back to earth a little bit. You can still find them at the 40-1 range, but they'll be in the tournament. They're going to be a really tough out. And that's a team that if they get things clicking back like they were at the start of the year, could be really dangerous as well.
Yeah, the Vandy thing is interesting because we have a bunch of, and I'll speak for Brad too, like I have a bunch and he has a bunch of SEC team futures. Vandy's not one of them, which concerns me now, right? So that could be the blind spot. We'll see. We'll see. But you like them a lot for sure.
Well, I think the whole point is, you could make a case for about a half dozen SEC teams this year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that league, it's insane. You watch how good they are, you know, night in, night out. And I think there's a path for a lot of these different teams. I just like that, you know, Vanderbilt does it a lot differently than a lot of other schools. I think because they've come down a little bit, they were known as this huge powerhouse school from several years ago. And they haven't been as good the last couple of seasons. I think they're getting slept on a little bit. Like they're still, they still have the ability to make a run. It's just not going to be as flashy as some of these other teams. And so it's more just at the price. Like I still feel like they're very well capable of making that run. And if you're getting them over 20-1, it's at least worth a shot here as we get closer and closer to our selection day, which is coming up on Monday.
Coming up on Monday. How deep into this are you going to be doing announcing for? Are you doing it into the round of 64?
No, just through the WAC tournament. So have games this weekend, and then I'll turn my attention to watching tennis and waking up at 3 a.m. every day, along with arena football. That's our next best duo here, Gil.
Oh, there you go. A little arena football from Ben Wilson. Okay, so let's talk French Open, because right as the show was beginning, I was like, oh my God, there's quarter numbers. I hadn't seen them before because we don't have them here in Vegas, as you know. So I was looking at the DraftKings numbers, and I was quickly picking off some numbers. Now, I know who you're about to isolate, and I have to tell you, I'm like, oh, he's right. Like, her clay numbers are outstanding. Please tell us who you're looking at.
Yes, Marketa Vondrousova, former finalist here at Roland Garros. And I was listening to you and Dan Weston and Drew Dinsick on your pod yesterday, breaking down the draw here. And rightly so, right? You're focusing so much on the top half. Iga Swiatek, really difficult draw. It is stacked with players at the top. But when I scanned the draw, I mean, I went straight to the bottom. And it is amazing. That fourth quarter, which is Aryna Sabalenka's quarter, the 2 seed, fresh off the Australian Open win. That fourth quarter to me is wide open, because Sabalenka, for as much as I'm a believer in her growth as a player overall, and that she has figured out her serve and is going to be a force here going forward, clay is by far her worst surface. She is a fade on this surface, has never been past the third round. You have a serve bot in Karolina Pliskova, whose game never plays well on clay. An extremely out of form 9 seed who is, I believe, 12-12 is Daria Kasatkina this year at tour level. So Marketa Vondrousova is a player whose clay numbers are right at the same level as in 2019 when she had her breakout season. She's winning about 49% of points on return. And I look at her draw, and she'll likely get Kasatkina in the second round. And it's like that third round match between Vondrousova and likely 17th seeded Yelena Ostapenko, who's a complete wild card, who can look amazing on clay. She's won this before as an unseeded player, or she can make 30 unforced errors and go out in round one. Whoever wins that match, to me, is coming out of this quarter. And Vondrousova, you can still find. I saw DraftKings had her at 50-1 yesterday. I think the best number in Nevada is 45-1. I don't know what you saw in the quarter numbers, but that is one that I was isolating right away. I want to jump in on
plus 550 on Vondrousova to win that quarter. Ostapenko is 4-1. And I think I agree with you completely. That's the quarter, as you said. It's a Sabalenka quarter. But there's also Caroline Garcia. There's Kasatkina. There's Zhang Xinwen, who's also there. And there's Sloane Stephens, whose numbers are actually way better than most people think on clay. So she's a super long shot at 35-1. But I'm with you. If it's Ostapenko and Vondrousova, that match is going to determine a lot in that quarter, I believe. And those are two really good bets. I like your call on Vondrousova. Good call, Ben Wilson. Enjoy
the little Vanderbilt Vondrousova double for you today, Gil.
Vanderbilt and Vondrousova. He might have picked out two blind spots of mine. Ben, always a pleasure, man. And again, solid speech at Parlay's wedding. Well done.
Thanks. Great to see you.
Ben Wilson, everybody. VSiN's own Ben Wilson, who you can find at Ben_Wilson_1 on Skype. Coming back. Or on Twitter, I should say. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin off air telling me about Ben Wilson's bets that he just recommended. And would you like to tell people what you just said, Kelly? Or was that just going to confuse people?
I just I was going to try to put together a Benny and the Bets parlay for Vanderbilt and the fine young tennis player he chose. I couldn't, but I selected the wrong tennis player.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So now I don't even have an answer for you.
Vondrasova is who he played, which is a solid play, by the way, for Q4. By the way, we have one. Oh, I just want to read this one tweet. I don't want to get a whole bunch of tweets, but this is Z-Free. Hearing it's lovely weather in Vegas today, I'd probably go for a stroll, play some golf, or attempt some field goals on a day like today.
It might be a little too cold for Matt.
Barometric pressure is always a concern for Matt Brown.
What is it, like 70 out right now? He would legit say it's too cold.
Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle here on the weekends here at VSiN, our old primetime action guy. So now we were making fun, well, we weren't, but a tweet was making fun of mainstream media talking about, and I think this is what he was going for, was the fact that, you know, they lead Denver Nuggets stories with LeBron talk still. Oh, how they overcame 21 points from LeBron in the first quarter. And yet here we are, and you can actually bet on where LeBron James will end up next. And so we decided, well, we should probably talk about that for those who are interested in such a thing. Now, this is available at PointsBet. Is that where that is? Okay. Now, is there a stipulation here where if he... Oh, no, there's no stipulation.
It's listed,
because the Lakers are listed. The Lakers, staying with the Lakers, where will LeBron play next season? Minus 700. Okay. Makes sense. No team slash retires. 5-1. Do you agree that that's the second short... That should be the second option?
I guess. You can put whatever you want there.
That's right, because the next three teams here, a return to the Cavaliers is 12-1, the Warriors are 15-1, and a return to the Heat is 15-1. And Kelly, you like one of these. Let me guess. You love a return to the Heat.
No. This is if you've got the bankroll, minus 700 is, I think it's light.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
This. I mean, especially after we just found out about this the injury that he played through. In any theoretical world where you want to come up with a trade for LeBron James, nobody's trading for a hurt old LeBron James. They're not figuring that out. So it really comes down to the top two, whether you think he's coming back or retiring.
Totally.
And I don't believe he's retiring at all.
Coward proposed a trade to the Warriors and everybody ran with it. I'm like, he's not getting traded to the Warriors.
He's not getting traded.
Stop it.
I
think you're right.
We got to keep in mind, LeBron's like GM of the Lakers. Like, he's right. Got off-season decisions to make for his team. Of like, how he's going to construct it.
I think you're right. It's not a bet for everybody. But if you are into such things, and value is value, and that's your North Star, is minus 700 high enough? No team retires 5-1? Like, you don't think there's a possibility? Because you know what he did? Because you know the whole thing with him is he's always said, I want to play when Bronny plays pro, I want to still be here and play with him. That's been the sort of going narrative. Did you catch his sentence the other day where he sort of hinted that might not be Bronny's dream? Where he said,
no,
you know, that was always my story. It might not be his, he said. So that was like the one little, he like lowered his left hand, as they say in boxing, for that one. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think.
Like he's almost had a talk. Like Bronny almost came to him and was like, Dad, could you stop with that?
I mean, no, that is interesting. I think people were overreacting a bit to what he was saying post game after they lost. Because it's, I think anybody at his point in his career, if you're kind of like Tom Brady, we always talk about, right? If you're not thinking about that every offseason, like, I think that's even weirder to not think about when you wake up and knowing you're going to go shoot and work out for 4 hours, you know, every day in the offseason, to not wake up and wonder, man, I'd really like to just be on a beach for the next 2 weeks.
By the way, not that his son is playing next year, but the point is if somehow they came to an agreement that was no longer the plan, maybe LeBron would be closer to retirement than we're giving the juice for that to be, you know, right? So if 5-1, no team retires, like, you would not recommend that, though? You think he wants to play?
Why wouldn't he? I think he's back.
Why wouldn't he? Dropped 40 in the last game, for goodness sake. All right, so for those who enjoy those types of bets, there you go. Are you playing anything? You don't have any Celtics Heat series bets, do you? I know you said the Heat broke your brain.
Yeah, I got Celtics in five, Celtics in six. If anybody wants those tickets, I don't think they're going to cash, though.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
Pretty sure.
Are you playing anything in game six?
No plans right now. Might dabble in some player props again. I think these injuries affect all of that. Ended up playing a couple last night with Marcus Smart, went over his points and assists. Caleb Martin went over his points. I think you got to think, when we're looking at what the injury problems are for both of these teams, but specifically the Heat, the points have to come from somewhere. So keep that in mind with player props for this game. I would go back to team total over on the Celtics. I like the Celtics side, but this is going to come down to three-point shooting, like we talked. I think whatever team, all it takes is one game for the Heat to get hot. The Celtics got to keep doing this for two more games.
So let's sort of give a nod to something that we talked about yesterday on this show when it relates to NFL betting, and something that JVT alluded to earlier when we talked about this game. Yesterday about the NFL, I think it was yesterday, we were talking about, or maybe it was the day before, was talking about, okay, it's our yearly PSA about National Football League alternate season win totals. Like the standard deviations on this are such that if all you have to do is look at the final NFL standings every year and you realize, oh my God, so many of these teams fall way past or way short of their stated season win total, their market season win total at the beginning of a season. So it's a market that if you're doing this right, you probably should exploit, because the notion that those are priced correctly is a fallacy. Books price everything mostly, I should say. Not everything, but most stuff they price correctly. They can't possibly price those accurately when you go up a couple games and down a couple games. Well, JVT said that thing when I asked him about correlation between total and spread in this game tomorrow. Celtics currently favored by 3, the total at 211, game 6 in Miami tomorrow night, where the Heat try to close out the Celtics and the Celtics try to take one more step towards history. He was saying, yeah, if it's the Celtics and the three-point shooting, the over is kind of the correlated thing. Correct me if I'm wrong here. And if it's the Heat, maybe not so much. Maybe it's more of the under. So would you then not, if we're following that logic, wouldn't alternate spreads be a thing that you might delve into here?
Absolutely. If I was interested betting pre-game sides for this, I would be looking at that. So take last game out of it, because last game, what we saw last night, right, that spread really did come into play at the end of the game,
right?
I mean, I guess it shouldn't have, but it did. But if you look at all the other four games, if you played alt lines on every side, I mean, you could have made great money. I mean, that's – so if you like the Heat, what's going to happen, Gil? Celtics are not going to hit threes. Miami's going to hit threes. And, if they win this game, you like them to win the game, I'd lay up to, like, 4.5, something like that. You're going to get close to plus 200 probably on something like that. That's the way I'd be looking at it on either side. Or if it's Celtics, if you like the Celtics, why wouldn't you think what happened the past two nights isn't going to happen again? You might as well lay more than 3.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I'm not – but I feel compelled to bring it up, right? Because we sort of danced around it with both conversations. And the reason I'm not is I have the Heat plus 199 after game one, and I'm just going to stand pat and see. Give me two chances to get that home, but particularly game 6. But it is something to think about, right? Because the Celtics are, what's the word I've associated with them? Schizophrenic. They're completely schizophrenic. It's why I didn't bet the Celtics down 3-0, because I don't think they're capable of 4 in a row of this. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, it's just if you do believe the Celtics are going to be lights out 3-point shooting, I don't know how you can make such a prediction, but if you do, maybe that's something else to consider betting wise.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep in mind they've been hitting threes at a higher rate than what even their normal what their normal rate was during the regular season this year, which was extremely high already. So I kind of want to see the Celtics win one of these games where they're not shooting above what their average is.
Let's go, Heat. Put this to bed. What do you want to see? Let's do a non-betting question.
I want 7 games.
You want 7?
Yeah, I want 7.
I do not. Why do you want 7?
What's better than a game 7? Come on.
No, because this is the game 7. Yeah, this is the game 7 coming up tomorrow night, which again, sadly, concurrent to game 5 of the Knights and the Stars, which comes back to Vegas tomorrow night. If there are game 7s, both will be on Monday. Memorial Day. Looking forward to that, if that's the case. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.